We are already reaching the last weeks of the Easter season. Just this coming Sunday, we're going to celebrate the Ascension of the Lord, and then we have Pentecost. And so by now we have reviewed several of the fruits of the Spirit. This has been our theme throughout this Easter season. How good would it be to actually memorize this list that St. Paul left us, to fix in our minds what the new life looks like, to really know what are those symptoms of the new life in Christ, to be able to recognize them right away. St. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, generosity, self-control. To be honest, I haven't memorized the list yet, but it's my intention to do it before this season ends. You can join me in that resolution. Now, if you paid attention to today's gospel, there is one fruit that comes up over and over again in the words of Jesus. Love. He speaks about love. But that fruit was already taken by Father Ignacio when he spoke about the love of the Good Shepherd. So I suggest that we go deeper into another fruit of the Spirit that is actually related to love, because it is a sort of specification of love, a fruit that describes what Christian love has as main characteristic, the fruit of generosity. Jesus says, we just heard it, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life. It is as if Jesus were saying, it's not just about being a loving person, not just about being a good person. What I'm showing and teaching you is that you should strive for the greatest kind of love, for complete self-giving. It is similar to what Jesus had said in the Sermon on the Mount. You might recall when he said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Jesus is calling us to a higher standard, and that standard is sort of synthesized in this quality of generosity. And Christian generosity has its own dynamic. As Christians, we learn generosity from God's generous love, from the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but most especially from the example of Jesus. He is our measure. That is why he says, love as I love you. And this already implies that we first receive the love of God. That is the first movement of this dynamic. First, we experience the love of Jesus, and then we can start loving in this new, generous way. That's what Jesus says here, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. He's describing this dynamic by which he first receives the love of the Father, and then he gives us that love, and that's what we are called to do. And so from God's love, we learn that generosity means two things. It implies two qualities, initiative and overabundance. Generosity means taking the first step. It implies this aspect of initiative, taking the initiative. Jesus says, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. And we also heard in the second reading, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son. God the Father took the first step when he didn't need to, when it was only on our interest. He was the one who came to us. And so we are called to love in a way that is not simply reactive, that is not waiting to be asked, but rather that takes the initiative, that takes the first step. That is the first quality of generosity. I remember some months ago when I arrived to the US, I had received a greeting card before I even arrived. So there was a couple of parishioners who took the initiative to send me a card even before I arrived. And in the card they said something like, you don't know us, but we have been praying for you since you were in your years of formation for many years. That is an example of taking initiative. and loving first. And the second quality of generosity is that generosity is also expressed in the measure of the love, in giving abundantly, giving in abundance. And that is what we usually understand by generosity, a certain good disproportion between the expectation or the need and the answer. There is an answer that exceeds what actually was needed or what was expected, at least. And this aspect of overabundance is present all over the Gospels. You can think, for example, in the multiplication of the bread, the loaves of bread. Jesus feeds this huge multitude, more than 5,000 people. But even still, there are 12 baskets that are filled with the leftovers, way more than was needed. Or in the parable of the prodigal son, we are told that the son was expecting to be received just as an employee. And the father gives him everything and even kills the fattened calf to honor his son. Or we could even think in the fact that only one drop of the blood of Jesus would have sufficed to redeem us and would exceed the price. But Jesus didn't give us just one drop. He gave everything. He gave himself completely. So we see this overabundance all over the place. Even in today's first gospel, we are told that Peter is surprised by the generosity of God that sends the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles. He was already surprised that they were becoming believers, but seeing that God sends them the Holy Spirit even before they get baptized. A great depiction of this principle of abundance that I discovered this year is what we see in the movie Babette's Feast. Now, I warn you, it is a very old movie. It's not a movie that you watch like a Friday night and to have fun. It's like reading a book, mostly. But it tells the story of these two Puritan sisters that live a very austere life in Denmark. And because of strange circumstances, they end up receiving a French woman, Babette, as their housekeeper. She's actually working for free, because she's escaping from France. And nobody knows this in the movie, but she actually was a great cook. She had been a great cook in a very famous restaurant in Paris. But now the only connection she has left with France is a lottery ticket that she has. That's the only connection she has with her native country. But that lottery ticket is renewed every year by a friend. France. One day she receives a letter that tells her that she actually won the lottery, that she won 10,000 francs, which was a lot of money, at least in that time. I don't know how much it is today, but she is so grateful with these two sisters that have received her in their place that she offers to prepare for them a great French dinner, for them and for their congregation, their Puritan congregation. And a bit hesitantly, they accept. And the food and the service is so excellent. It is so refined that it brings great joy and even reconciliation to this congregation, to this group. They were experiencing some tensions, but because they feel so honored, they become reconciled and they feel this great joy, they end up singing. But the interesting detail that we find out only at the very end of the movie, so spoiler alert, is that Babette actually spent the totality of her fortune in this dinner, preparing this feast. She didn't spare any detail or effort to prepare the very best, and she spent it all. And this experience of overabundance and generosity is what brings this new and positive light to this Puritan group that appeared sort of gloomy before. Well, that is what generosity produces. God's generosity heals our pettiness and our insecurities and allows us to be generous with others, to be generous without fear. That is why we need to experience over and over again the generosity of God and to reflect on it, to become really aware of how generous the Lord is. in order to awake a generous response on our part. That is why generosity is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not just a human virtue, but we are talking about it as a fruit of the Spirit, as an action of God in us. Now, this experience of the generosity of God can be done in several ways, but a particularly effective means that I suggest is to experience the Holy Mass in this perspective of God's abundance and generosity. In the Mass, and we will experience it in just a few moments, Jesus gives himself fully. He doesn't spare anything. He becomes fully present in the Eucharist, and he gives himself to us, and he says, "Here am I, this is my body, receive me." Cardinal Ratzinger said that the Eucharist is the divine excess or abundance which infinitely surpasses all needs and legitimate demands. So truly reflecting on God's generosity and receiving it with a grateful heart will inspire more generosity on our part. And then once we have that motivation, once we have that experience, that desire to be generous, then we just need to be intentional about giving ourselves, about asking ourselves, how can I be generous today? How can I be more generous in my interactions, in my conversations, in my interest in others? How can I be more generous in the use of my time, my talent, my treasure? And we can also go back to those two qualities and use them as a way of measuring generosity, the quality of initiative and abundance. Many years ago, when I experienced my first conversion, when I first came to Christ, my first certainty was that God cannot be outdone in generosity. I experienced that the more I gave to God, the more I received. I always received a hundredfold. So let us seek to acquire, if we haven't had it, or at least to renew this certainty that God cannot be outdone in generosity.